Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about why do I exist? Why are you here? Let's assume you're here for more than just breathing air, more than just getting by, more than just staying alive, more than surviving, right? For some people, that's what they believe. Well, I'm a survivor. No, you're much more than that. There's a reason that you are here. But what is it? What is the reason? What's the answer? Why do I exist? I think every one of us has asked that question. Sometimes as young people, we ask the question because we're worried about our future. We're struggling. What do I do? Where do I go? You know, I have found many people thinking the more education they get, the more answers they'll have. But in fact, they come out of college with less answers, and still no one has said, why am I here? What is your purpose? So education's not the answer. Philosophy. You know, you could look to the philosophers. They're not going to give you any answers because they're not sure what they believe. You could look to what? Material stuff? I'm just here to get more stuff. I'm just here to have fun. But that doesn't work out because we see a lot of people who have a lot of stuff and are miserable. Been through one marriage, two marriage, three marriage, kids with this girl, that guy, this guy, don't even know which guy. That's not good. So what's the answer? Why am I here? If your answer does not come from God, you're just guessing and wishing. There's no real way to know. If God isn't a part of it, then it's just your idea. And it's funny how people who aren't doing very well will often say, I'm doing things my way. Well, your way is not working so good. Even people who are doing well are so short on the earth that without God, they're just guessing. They're hoping, they're wishing. There's an atheist named Bertrand Russell, famous thinker, but a self-proclaimed atheist, right? So the atheist doesn't believe in a relationship with God. And this guy said, unless you assume God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. There's no reason to even ask the question, because if there is no God, then do what you want to do. Do your own thing. You're just an accident of evolution. You're just a Darwinian product. You're just nature gone wild. If there is no God, then stay drunk. Get high or not. Do whatever you want to do. But if there is a God, then that's where we have to start to answer the question, why do I exist? Now, I think every person at some point realizes in their spirit there is another realm. There's a spiritual realm. There's an eternal realm. You can deny that. You can ignore that and go through life denying God. But every human at some point realizes there is. So what are we going to do with it? If there's no God and you're just an accident of nature, then you can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. Go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. But if there is God, now I want to find out, what do you have for me? Why am I here? Why do I exist? By the way, people who don't believe in a purpose don't do life well because humans were designed to have purpose. The Bible said where there is no vision, people perish. Where there's no reason, where there's no hope, people struggle. That's why in our world today, you see so much drug abuse, alcohol abuse, divorce, abuse of various kinds, disasters. That's the result. The crime, all of that stuff is the result of people who have no hope, who have no vision, who have no purpose, who don't know why they exist. If I don't know why I exist, I certainly don't care that you exist. And so crime goes up. People go crazy. Alcohol, everything else increase. Why? Because we have no hope. We have no reason. We have no vision. And the Bible teaches us where there is no vision, people perish. Right? So the reason you exist, let's start right here. The reason you exist is because God wants you to live. God wanted you on the earth. He created the earth so you would have a place to live. That's an interesting thought that most people don't know. God thought of you before he thought of planet earth. The Bible said the earth was made so you would have a place to fulfill God's will. Before the foundation of the world, Ephesians said, God saw you, right? Which we talked about last week. That's why we don't believe in abortion, because God saw you even in the womb, knew you, had a place for you, had a plan for you. That's why you exist. The reason you exist is because God wants you to live. Therefore, we live to know him, to worship him, to honor him, to follow him. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. Everything that's created in heaven and in earth is by him. So why do you exist? Because he decided you should exist. He had a purpose for your life. Colossians goes on to say, visible or invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created through him and for him. So here's the next part of the answer. You live because he wants you to, and you live for him. Now, any life that's for self doesn't go well, because that's an incestuous way of living, right? Any family who won't build any relationship outside of the family, we only love our family, we sleep with our family, we have kids with our family, what happens? We go bonkers. We lose our family. You can't live in. You have to reach out. So if your life is about you, you are an incestuous type of thinker, and it's always me. Selfishness is destructive. But when we live for God, God lifts us up above, makes you bigger, makes you better. Getting you off your mind is the best thing you can do. Stop thinking about you and start thinking about what God could do in your life, and you'll find a bigger, better, happier life. When you're focused in, you get small, life goes bad. When you focus out, you get bigger, and God starts doing amazing things in you. So, he is before all things, and in him all things exist. He is the head of the church, the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So if you're a Christian and you give God the preeminence, the first place in your life, now you begin to find purpose. You begin to find why you exist. One of the things that caused me to struggle as a young adult was the fear of the future. The fear of failure, the fear of never having a job that was fulfilling, a fear of never having a family and ending up like my parents, you know, in divorce and struggling with sickness and just going through all the pain of life, I just thought, man, if that's all there is, I'm just going to try to stay high. So I just started using every type of drug I could use and drinking and whatever I could get because I was afraid of the future. The fear of why do I exist? But when I came to church right here and for the first time began to hear that God had a plan for me, I got excited. Now I have hope. Now I have vision. And then a couple years after I first came to the Lord, I began to think, God wants me to be a part of leading church. And I met Wendy, and she also wanted to lead church. And together, we're like, let's go. And life got exciting. And everything got better. I grew, and finances grew, and family grew, and health grew. Everything got better. When you find why you exist, you get better. But when you keep worrying about you, and how do I get more, and how do I get what I want, life goes down, and you get locked in and get smaller. So if you want to get bigger and better, you got to follow God. In James 1, it says, John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made. So you were made by God. You're here because God wants you here. Oh no, my parents didn't want to get pregnant. I'm an accident. No, God knew. Whether your parents knew or not, God knew. My mom was 17 years old when she got pregnant. She didn't know how to be a mom and what the future and what the plan. When I became a pastor, she's like, what? You're kidding, right? There's no pastors in Spanaway. My dad came to church one time, never knew, couldn't figure why. He said, how do you do that? Well, what, Dad? What do what? He goes, all that stuff, praying and preaching. Oh, how do you do that? I'm like, well, God's helping us. God's working in it. He was like confused, couldn't figure it out. Your parents don't know your destiny. They may not even know why you were born, but God knows. All things were made by Him. That's why we call Him Father. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap right there. You exist because God wants you to exist, and God designed you for a specific place. The odds of you being born were 1 in 400 trillion. A mathematician did some study, did some research, and said, what are the odds of a child being born at the moment, at the place, the color, the size, the personality, the parents, the grandparents? What are the odds? He came to the number 1 in 400 trillion. In other words, all the things that could have happened. Your mom could have had a miscarriage, could have had an abortion. All the things that could have happened. You came and you are here. 1 in 400 trillion. How many would gamble on those odds? I don't think so. I'm not a gambler. I don't even gamble on 1 to 5, 1 to 2, I don't gamble. But 1 to 400 trillion? Whoo. People often say it's like, you know, giving a monkey or something and a computer and they write an amazing novel. What are the odds? Oh, something like 1 in 400 trillion. Yeah, you're here for a reason, guys. You're here because God wanted you here. And all that happened with your parents and grandparents, and even many before. One of our church ladies shared a story with us last week after we talked about abortion. She said her mom got pregnant when she was young, and her grandmother took her to 5 different doctors, took this lady's mom to 5 different doctors for an abortion. It was years ago and before it was legal, and there were many doctors who wouldn't do it because she had waited so long. And so the baby was born, and she's now a member of our church, and she's a mom with children and grandchildren, and you just realize, wow, God was working. Now grandma understands, and grandma, you know, is part of the family now, but back then she didn't know. And many people just don't realize every child God knows in the womb. Every child God sees at the moment of conception. And we should value them as we value our own lives, because we recognize God has something for them just like he does for us. Maybe the world so wants abortion because they don't feel any purpose for themselves. I have no reason to exist, so this pregnancy has no reason. That's the thinking of people who are hopeless and helpless. But our purpose is real to us because we know God. And God created all things. And he created us, not by accident, but a very specific purpose. When you choose to love him, you enter into that relationship where your purpose begins to be revealed. In Matthew 22 and verse 36, they asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Most important statement in all of Scripture. He did not hesitate. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. When you decide, I'm going to love God, I'm going to believe in God, I'm going to love God, your purpose is born. You're on your way. You begin to take those steps to find reason, destiny, and value. That's why you can never be a lukewarm, mediocre, kind of, sort of Christian. Yeah, I believe, but I mean, I'm not like really into it. I'm not like that Casey Treat dude. Like he believes all the Bible. Yeah, I believe. I go to church like once a year, twice a year, or sometimes special occasions. Look, the lukewarm attitude never works. Jesus said, love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Get your mind in there. Get engaged. Get plugged in. Well, I don't know, Pastor, you know, I'm not so radical like you. That's why you live in Graysville. You just live, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't know about all that Holy Ghost stuff. Come on, man. If you're going to believe in God, you might as well go all in. You know, the Bible said God will have you cold or hot, but the lukewarm he will spit out. Okay, never mind. When you love God, you worship him. You honor him. You connect with him. Just like when you love your wife, you're not ashamed to hug her, to kiss her, to walk with her, to celebrate her. If you don't love your wife, maybe that's why you don't touch her, celebrate her, have time for her, right? If you love God, you worship him. You do what the Bible said. You lift up your hands. You shout to the Lord. You sing to the Lord. Well, I love the Lord, Pastor, but, you know, not like that. There is no not like that. The Bible said if you have it in your heart, it comes out of your mouth. If it's not coming out of your mouth, it's not in your heart. Well, the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your empty heart. Your lukewarm heart. You ain't got time, heart. Right? If it's in your heart, Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we worship him. We honor him. We connect with him. Love has action. Love has fruit. Love has results. In John chapter 4 and verse 23, the Bible said the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking. He's seeking for such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So some people say, well, I worship him my own way. No, that doesn't work. Worship in truth. Follow the truth, the scriptures, the truth. What does the scripture say? We lift our hands. We shout to the Lord. We sing a new song to the Lord. That's how we worship. Well, I worship in my own way. You've been here 10 minutes. There is no my own way for you. You make up excuses. You make up reasons to not move forward. You have in your mind these blocks to keep you from purpose and destiny. There is my own. You know, it's like the teenager telling their parent, well, I'm going to do it my way. Parents like, you're living in my house, eating my food. There is no your way. There's God's way or the highway. God's way or the low way, really. So stop playing. Stop kidding yourself. I'll do it my way. There is no your way. You're not that smart. You've been here 10 minutes. Your life is a vapor. People who live their way die young. Find God's way. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Out of your spirit, according to the word of God, like Psalm 47. It says, clap your hands, shout to the Lord, right? So a lot of people come to church, oh, those guys are clapping and shouting. That's weird. No, that's Bible. That's purpose. That's why God created us. Yeah, well, I don't really like that. Well, you tripping because you shout for the Mariners, right? Foul ball comes your way, you're jumping hands in the air. Give me that ball. If God comes your way, you're like, whatever. Right? What the heck? At the football game, you shout. Man, I'm at the little kids' soccer game, right? The kids are just, they don't even know where they're going. I'm just, yeah, go, man, go. They don't even know where they're going. If I'm going to shout for a ball, but not shout for the creator of the universe, my priorities are mixed up. Right? And if I tell myself, well, I do things my way, I'm just kidding myself. Because when you really look at your life, how's that working for you? I'm doing it my way. Tell your wife you're going to do it your way. She's going to say, I'm calling my attorney my way. Yeah, it just doesn't work. You're just playing games in your mind. Find God's way and go to that higher place. He's seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't come up with your way. That's why kids who follow these school unions, kids that follow these professors who are godless and hopeless, it's a sad thing when kids follow people who are telling them lies. But they buy into it because it's cool and it's hip and it's current. Many kids are buying into this gender change thinking. And they're going to be so sad when they wake up one day and realize what they've lost. No. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Honor the Lord with your possessions. That's why we give, because God tells us, I'm trying to get you up higher, trying to get you more, trying to get you to a new level, and he will fill your life with plenty, and you'll overflow with new things. It's right there in the scripture. It's so clear, and it works. We're living it. We're working it. You can too, if you'll go for it. So you were created to know God, to love God, to worship God. You were created by God, number two, to be a producer, an influencer, a positive addition to this world. Jesus said in Matthew 12, make the tree good and the fruit good. But the tree is known by its fruit. What's the fruit of your life? What's the results? Then he said, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? He was talking to religious people. You're always negative, always saying bad stuff. You're always complaining, always worrying, always whining. No, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure, a good woman out of the good treasure of their heart brings forth. It's not from the government, it's out of the good treasure of your heart. It's not from the welfare check, it's out of the good treasure of your heart. It's what's in you. You bring forth good things. You are an influencer. You are productive. You are an addition. You add to the culture. You're adding business to your community. You're adding services. You're adding positive things. You're adding that Bible study to your neighborhood. You're adding prayer to the people in your sphere. You're adding to the world. God called you to add, not take. Not just take. Well, who's going to take care of me? You serve God. You worship God. You live for God. And He'll take care of you. But if you keep waiting for another loan from the government, another welfare check, another free ride, well, I'm going to live in mom's basement till I'm 43. You're going to die miserable. Well, I got a good pastor. We got free Wi-Fi in mom's basement. Yeah, Wi-Fi ain't making you happy. That's why you're living in chips and Coke. Yeah, you're going to die miserable. Where there is no purpose, people die. So you're waiting for someone to take care of you and give you life, give you money, give you whatever you need. Where's my welfare? Where's my food stamps? Who's going to take care of me? Now, if you're in a situation, you actually are changing, you need that for a season, that's good. But if that's your lifestyle, especially 30 years, 40 years, you need to realize God created you to add. And when you add, you receive. When you give, you receive. When you sow, you reap. When you plant, you harvest. And you start enjoying life. Life gets rich. Life gets gooder. Right? So you can't live thinking someone has to take care of me. That's not God. God is challenging you to bring forth out of the good treasure of your heart. And the next step in knowing why you exist is because you know you have unique gifts. You have unique skills. You have unique talents. Some of you are nurses. I couldn't do that. I don't have that. But out of your heart, you bring forth that amazing gift. Some of you are managers, administrators, organizers. You're amazing at it. You put things together and I don't even know how you could do it. But God gifted you, gave you that ability, and it just happens. You show up, stuff gets organized. Wow. Add that to our culture. Add that to our world. Stop taking and start giving, and you'll see why God put you here. Some of you are salesmen, business owners. You are some of you builders, skilled labor. Amazing. The stuff you can build, it makes our world better. And most people can't do that. I cannot make a straight corner. But you were born to do that. You were created for carpentry or whatever it is. So you were created by God to produce, to add to the world, and He gave you unique and special gifts. But if you're just living for someone to give you a check or give you free housing or give you free food, you'll never find what God put in you. and you will be miserable. Nobody can be fulfilled waiting for unemployment. It's just, it just doesn't work. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, this is my paraphrased version, you either live for his pleasure or you live for your pleasure. Those are the only two options you have. You live for God's pleasure or my pleasure. I'm living for my own pleasure. I'm going to stay home today. I need a well day. I need a me day. Your whole life is me. You don't need a me day. You've had me 40 years. Right? But that's how people are. I need a me day. I just need to be alone. No, you don't. The more you're alone, the crazier you get. The more you talk to yourself, the worse you are. Right? That's why when I said to Julius years ago, my spiritual father, I said, Julius, I've been thinking about something in me. And he said, yeah, stop right there. When you counsel you, you don't get better. You counseling you doesn't help. You got to get out. You got to start thinking about somebody else. You got to get beyond yourself and live for his pleasure, not your pleasure. And you know the crazy thing? You'll get more pleasure when you don't live for your pleasure. When you're thinking about how do I bless my wife? How do I bless my children? How do I bless my community? How do I help my life group and the people who come over who want the word of God? How do I be a blessing in my church and in my job? And all of a sudden, you get a raise. You get the new house. You get more opportunity. You just go to a whole new level because when you're not thinking about you, you are adding to the world and you are receiving favor from God. Right? So God gives you special gifts. God calls you light in the darkness, salt in the earth. You're the salt. Bring some flavor, man. Bring some flavor. Stop being so bland. Stop being so mediocre. Right? Mediocre, that's the worst kind of ochre. I don't even know what ochre is, but mediocre is not good, right? Bring the salt. Bring the spice. Spice up the world around you. Spice up the people around you. Bring the love. Bring the joy. Bring the word of God. Bring the prayer. Be that guy. Oh, no, Pastor, I don't want to hurt people's feelings. What? Hurt their feelings? You gonna let them go to hell? Well, I didn't want to hurt their feelings, so I'm going to let them go to hell. What the heck? Wake up, man. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And Jesus said, if the salt has lost its flavor, it's good for nothing. Amen. Is that the story of your life? Good for nothing? I hope not. Be what God created you to be. Add what God wants you to add. Let the Lord use you and live for his pleasure, and your pleasure will be fulfilled. In Romans 12 and verse 4, it said there are many members in the body, but not the same function. In verse 5, being many in the one body of Christ, we all have different gifts. And in verse 6, having gifts differing, let us use them. Are you using your gift? You're a salesman, you're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're an attorney, you're an administrator, you're an accountant. Are you using your gifts? Are you flowing? You're doing what you do. Yeah, I do what I do. I do what I'm good at. I do what I enjoy. Yeah, do what you do. Do you. But do it for God. You have unique and special gifts. Well, no, Pastor, I don't have any gifts. No, you've been living alone or living off of somebody else and never found your gifting. And that's, again, why people are sad. Or I'm just depressed. That's why I need pills. I need pills. I'm in balance. Well, maybe sometimes people are. But usually the depression is just a result of not flowing in what God has for you, right? Just not living that life. being that person that God created you to be. So you just get down and you just get a bit lost and life gets meaningless. But if you know God created you with a destiny and you'll live for that, you start finding what you get. You know, for years, as I said, as a young adult, I was so scared of the future. When I thought about being a pastor, I thought, that's got to be the craziest thing in the world. How do you be a guy in rehab and be a pastor? Right? So people always ask me, well, how'd you become a pastor? Well, first I went to rehab. How does that work? Well, it doesn't matter if you're in rehab or in county jail. If God gifted you and you get committed to God, those gifts start working and God will start moving and you're going to find your place. You'll find that job. You'll find that career. You'll find that startup. You'll create it yourself if you have to. And you'll find people along the way. When I found Wendy, it's like, all right, babe, let's go. And then people started gathering. And through the years, how many thousands and thousands of people have come to Christ because of a little old girl from Wenatchee and a little old boy from Spanaway, right? How does that work? Only God. Only God. But we're not special. Same thing's true for you. You get going because God created you just like he did me, and God put gifts in you just like he did me, and you find that place, and all of a sudden, man, you start enjoying it, and you start prospering, and you get more opportunity, and everything around you gets better. Why do you exist? Number one, because God wants you to live. Number two, because you have something to add to our society. And I'm out of time today, but number three is for your family and the next generation. You're part of passing on an inheritance and your family and the next generation. So let's get to that next time. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.